Awesome. It's so good to be back home. We had an awesome men's breakfast yesterday. Such a good spirit and fellowship and encouragement. Man, the faith in that room yesterday morning is a good way to come back home and see everybody. We've actually been home since Monday. We're getting through jet lag pretty good. And, you know, we were in three different time zones in Russia, but that's only, you know, they have 12 or 13 time zones there in Russia. It can be noon and midnight. It's noon and midnight every day at the same time in Russia. Like, we have to think about, man, is it too late to call the East Coast? They're like, what day is it on the East Coast? That's how Russia is. And so we bring you greetings from all of our sisters and brothers there. It was such a, one of the best trips I've ever been on. And one of the reasons was because Rachel and I got to go together, so that was fun. But we want to say hello to everyone online. Right now, actually, our Russian, some Russian pastors are watching this service online. So hello. Everyone turn around for a second, if you would, at the camera in the back. And everyone say on the count of three, privyet. One, two, three, privyet! Okay, good. Let me tell you some more Russian. That's good, that's good. Say this, ya, люблю, тебя. Tell somebody, ya, люблю, тебя. You just told them, I love you. Very good. Te amo. Ya, люблю, тебя. For those of you that aren't that expressive, that just is a little bridge for you to step across. No, just playing with you. It's just good to be home. And what I wanted to do this morning is, you know, our church has been connected to Russia for a long time. And we have a lot, our church family has been growing, and there's so many wonderful new families and brothers and sisters in the New Life family, and we wanted to give you this morning some of the testimony of our trip, but also a little bit of sense of connection in our history with Russia. We had a Bible college trip way back in 1994 where our team first went over there and got to go to Russia. Our church started together back when this church was Christian Life Church, and another church in Santa Rosa was called Christian Life Church. We partnered with them and a ministry called the Book of Hope to go into Krasnoyarsk in Siberia and start a new work. And that was right after the Iron Curtain fell. It was such an open time in Russia. It was still felt very Soviet Union back at that time because it was open, but like there was just such a vacuum at that time. And the Lord moved in our church family here to say, you know what? We're not just going to let this opportunity pass us by. We're going to pray. We're going to send our pastors. Our senior pastor at that time went once a month to help pastor that church over in Siberia. We sent people to go teach in the Bible college. I was one of those people. Spent a semester over there and more. We gave financially to help make that happen. And this church invested and sacrificed and sowed a lot of seed in that season. And I want you to know that that's in the history of our church. And you may feel like, well, that wasn't really me. I'm in the church now. Listen, our church is still connected. I mean, we literally have a sister church in Siberia that, I mean, if we hadn't changed our name, we'd have the same name because we're the same family of churches. That's Pastor Vladimir. How many of you remember Pastor Vladimir? He comes here to preach sometimes. That's him. He was 17 years old when I was his Bible college teacher, and I was 20 years old. We were all just kids in there. Seriously, we were all just kids saying, we want to serve God and do whatever you want with our lives. And it was a pretty amazing time. So what I want to do is just take you through kind of like our itinerary for this trip and talk you through a couple things. Then Rachel's going to share, and then I'm going to share some highlights from the trip because we want you to be connected to this. And we want you to know, like, there's some real cool blessing of what God is doing that is your heritage. It's a part of our church family and what God's doing. So here's our trip. We started at home. You are there right now. That's where we are, in Novato. And we drove down to SFO on April 11th. Actually, we took the airporter, the Marin airporter, and it was great. You guys see that on the freeway all the time. And then we hopped on a plane, and we went across to Moscow. And actually, I've never done ministry in Western Russia, in the European side of Russia before. But when we got to Moscow, we drove up to Tver, 3 hours. It was a lot longer than we thought it was going to be. Thought it was going to be like an hour. And we got there, and we did some great. That's the first city we went to out of five. And Tavir is pastored by a pastor named Zhenya, who was sent out of Krasnoyarsk in Siberia 7 years ago. He got saved in the rehab ministry. You would never know, ever, that he was a drug addict before. He is so set free, and their church is so filled with God's presence. So we spent time ministering to almost all of their leaders in one session. Then we did ministry in their church. And that was basically, what's that? It was a Wednesday night gatherings. That was our first city. And then we drove back to Moscow, and we got in an airplane. And that was an early flight, wasn't it? That was like, I think we left the flight at 2:30 or 3. Then we flew across the Urals all the way into Asian Russia, which is Siberia. That's Asian Russia, to the city of Krasnoyarsk. And that's where our sister church is. You know Pastor Vladimir and Lena. There they are. And Rachel and I spoke in a marriage conference there for 2 or 3 days of a marriage conference, several sessions. And since we just had our 20th anniversary, we got to share quite a bit out of the things the Lord has given us over our brief 20 years of marriage. That's their Sunday services. That's kind of what it looks like from the back. And that's their youth ministry. On Sunday, we spoke in the main church, in the branch church, in the youth group. That's Pastor, one of the oldest daughters of Pastor Lena and Vladimir. And there's Rachel ministering a really powerful word in the main service. So that's a bunch of the leaders in Krasnoyarsk having lunch on a Sunday afternoon, I believe. And from there, false alarm. That's one of the branch churches. All right, there's us with Pastor Vladimir and Lena. And then we got on another plane and went to Irkutsk. We've never been to Irkutsk before. That's all the way down just above Mongolia. And you see that large lake there? That's Lake Baikal. That is the largest freshwater lake in the world. That's all more than all the Great Lakes combined. That's 20% of the world's freshwater in one lake. Yeah, you could put a hose in it and just drink a straw and drink right out of it. It's so fresh. They have freshwater seals in that lake, if you can believe it or not. It's amazing. And the lake was frozen when we got there, and it was thawed when we left, so we got there right when spring was kind of changing it. That's Pastor Sergei Nadezhda, pastor of a great church called Tree of Life that is a network of one of the original Bible college students from Krasnoyarsk that he's pastoring, the bishop over that network now. Some of the leaders in that church. You saw a fish there. That's called omal. It's unique only to that lake. We ate four ways omal. Everything omal. So much fish. It was awesome. Okay. Powerful time in God's presence in Irkutsk. And then we went back to Moscow and drove south this time to a neighborhood called Podolsk. And we were there with Pastor, that's also Pastor Vladimir and Tatiana. Tatiana is actually from Sacramento, similar neighborhood to where Rachel grew up. She's Ukrainian, Slavic. That's her interpreting. And man, this church was so filled with God's presence and just the fire of the Spirit. Wonderful time connecting with those guys. The Lord gave us prophetic words for so many people on their team. That's the pastor, me praying for him from behind there. And they always came out on a Thursday night to say, let's worship and see what God wants to do. So it was a full house. It was a lot of fun. Then we went back to Moscow. We traveled a lot on this trip. We were a little saddle sore. And we got to see some sights. We saw the Red Square. And maybe if you follow us on Facebook, you saw some of that fun stuff. And we got to meet, this is the wife of the bishop of all the evangelical churches in Russia. We're probably going to have her here in October. And she's like the Joyce Meyer of Russia kind of a thing. She's a very well-known lady. And then we went to St. Petersburg. Never been there before either. Tremendous. It's named after Peter. I mean, hey, that's a good start, right? Like Peter from the Bible. This is Renat and Susha, wonderful pastors from the Krasnoyarsk church. They came there with a group of people from Krasnoyarsk, from Siberia, less than a year ago, and they started a brand new church in St. Petersburg. And the work there is just going so awesome. That's their kids' ministry. They prophesied over us, the kids in St. Petersburg. It was amazing. And we just had such a good time with them. That's a duplicate there. To Tavir, the first city, and to St. Petersburg, the second city, we want to take a group from New Life on a missions trip later this fall back to keep fanning the flames and encouraging the flames of revival that are happening there right now. And that's us coming home. Almost back. Okay, we're to New Life now in Nevada. So that's a little bit of our itinerary. Just, we wanted you to see where we were. Saying like five cities in Russia doesn't necessarily, I mean, that could be like going to Berkeley and Nevada and San Francisco. We were like, yeah, Russia's like America next to Alaska, next to America, next to Alaska, next to Alaska. It's huge. So just a really, really fun to be a part of what God's doing there. Rachel's going to share some stuff now, and I'm going to listen.
Well, it's hard to put into words all that happened in such a short time. But first, I just want to say that your investment is just touching this world. And it's amazing to me that we could take our finances, our lives, what we invest in our lives, our day-to-day life, invest it financially into God's kingdom. He takes it and does something that's so beyond what we could ever do in ourselves. And to watch this investment from over 20 years ago, even to missions today, as we give financially, every dollar God just takes and he just multiplies it. And these lives are being transformed. They're being completely brought into the kingdom of God, like, and radical, fiery people for God. Like, not, you know, just a little bit, like, I think I might, you know, come to Sunday services. No, they're like, we want to be missionaries. We want to reach other people for Jesus. I mean, they are just doing incredible things. And you guys, we are a part of that. You are a part of fanning the flames of fire, of revival in Russia. They're on the edge of the next wave of revival. You know, when we went there back in 1995 is when I think I went. Four. Wow. Long time ago. And, you know, just to watch, there was such revival at that time. You guys, there was open doors like you've never seen. I mean, we went into the colleges, to the elementary schools, to any place. They would just have us. And you would preach the gospel, and you would say, who would want Jesus? All the kids, every person would just raise their hand, I want Jesus. I want Jesus. And then to watch that they're like on the next wave of revival about to hit that nation, to go in there and be able to speak words that confirm what God's doing, that they're about to see the greatest miracles, the greatest healing that they've ever seen, and just to confirm all that God's doing in their hearts. It's just awesome. And you guys, we are not left out. God wants to do it here as well. So just encourage yourself. So just bless you and thank you for your prayers. We can feel that you're praying, literally, like I can feel being lifted up. I mean, we went into these churches and they're just like, oh, okay. And the pastor just texted us from Russia in St. Petersburg saying, telling the church to say thank you. Tell the church to say thank you. So, I mean, that's live. Yeah, thank you from them to you, you know. Yeah, you guys get it, right? Okay. I can blame jet lag for the next 2 weeks, right? Okay. But you guys, we can feel you praying, like literally feel you praying. And they would ask us, they'd say, come in and just pray and prophesy over everybody. Okay. Like, we're like, okay, thank you for your prayers back home. Everybody keep praying, you know. And we get text messages from you, and it's just so encouraging. And we can feel that power. Well, you know, while I was there, I just really felt like in my heart to have this word about getting out of the boat and how as they're going into this new season of revival, that God wants to feed their faith with the miracles that he did before. He wants to encourage their faith for the season that they're moving into. And the best way to describe that was, you know, with the disciples and Jesus doing this incredible miracle, you know, they gathered out to hear him. They were so hungry. The crowds were so hungry. You guys, that hunger's there in the world. That hunger's there to really hear Jesus. And so the crowds gathered and, you know, Jesus tells his disciples, give them something to eat. They're like, what? You know, and he does a miracle. He multiplies bread and fish. And he didn't just multiply enough to get them through. He multiplied over abundantly enough so that they gather up 12 basketfuls. You know the story, 12 basketfuls of bread, right? Like they just like leftovers. I mean, how many know like that would be a good day? Like you just got fed bread from heaven. You didn't even have to work for. You're full. You're stuffed. You're like, ah, this is good. I mean, serving Jesus, this is good. This is, you know, great. But he didn't let them stay there. He said, now I want you to get into the boat, you 12 apostles. Get into the boat, take those 12 baskets, and go to the other side. There's new adventures. And I tell you, there's new adventures to be, you know, going in. And they start rowing. They start going. And you know, they receive a lot of resistance. And I'm sure they're snacking on, you know, I just don't know how he's going to do it now. You know, they got their bread. I just don't get how we're going to get there. And the season that they were in, the miracle that God just did was to feed their faith for where they were going. And it was the same. I felt like this was a word for a timely word for the church at large. I feel like this is not just for Russia. I feel like it's for here. I even preached it here. But I just feel like it's for all the body of Christ, that God has us into new adventures. Well, I go to speak this word, and God's like, ha ha, you are not saying this word without getting out of the boat yourself. And I was like, okay. You know, like, you have to step out on a new level, step out in a new faith. And you know, and so the Lord's like, I want to give you names of people. And so God gave me on the first service we had in Tver, right outside Moscow, we landed, and I have this name, and I'm like, okay, well, you know, names in Russia can be very common. And so, like, I'm like, what if there's more than one person? How am I going to know that this is them? And he said, he's on the leadership team. Yvonne is on the leadership team. And so I'm like, okay, well, we're going to have a leadership meeting in a couple hours, and I will know for sure if this is, you know, from you, you know, taking a risk here. Sure enough, the youth pastor walks in on the leadership team. His name is Yvonne. We released this word for him and, you know, just like fire him up. I mean, God did such incredible things. I just like, and then we go to Krasnoyarsk. And again, I'm like texting my son, Ben. I'm like, please pray for me. I think I have someone's name. You know, like I'm like all hands on deck, right? You know, like, and I'm like, Caleb, should I give it? You know how you ever, you need like help, you know, you're like, he's like, yeah, you should. And I'm like, oh, okay, thanks. Behind me up there. Yeah. And so, and I'm like in worship, you know, and the Lord in the moment gives it words for some other people that I know and release it. And I, you know, call it this name. Well, ends up again, not just the name, but the ministry, the person's involved in, you know, like what they do. And it's, there was two people with the same name that have similar ministry, you know, similar expressions in ministry. And it was so cool because Kayla's message then was on the double portion. It was like, you just can't put these things together. God is so incredible what he did. And I just want to encourage you. I mean, we arrived in Irkutsk by Lake Baikal. And a couple years ago, if you were here in the church, you'd remember Amy and I were sent out. I was preaching at a women's conference in Krasnoyarsk. And they, you know, do this with other networks as well. And there was one of the gals there after the conference. She had a dream that I would be in her church preaching. I didn't know this until we arrive at her church, you know, this thing. And she's like, this is a fulfillment of the dream I had that you're standing, Rachel, you're standing in my church preaching. I mean, this is completely amazing. We didn't really know these pastors, you know, we didn't know them. And here we are as a fulfillment of things that God had put in their heart. And I just want to say, you guys, you are that fulfillment. Like you are that fulfillment. Every time you give, every time you pray, God's going to send some of you here. You're going to be with us and you're going to go and you're going to be that exact thing. You're going to be the fulfillment of a dream in the heart. And so it's just so cool. We like called out and prophesied over the leadership. We didn't even know that they were all the leaders. Like we go out to dinner afterwards and we're like, well, would you look at that? They're all sitting at the table with us. They're all the leaders and God knows each person by name. And so I'm incredible. Okay. It's make it short. Sorry. And we went to, St. Petersburg as well. You know, we ended our trip. I'm skipping over quite a bit, but we went to this sweet church plant, less than a year old. I mean, I love the beginnings of something fresh like this. Like God, don't ever despise the day of small beginnings. Like just don't. Like if you get anything from what we're sharing about this morning, don't ever despise the day of small beginnings. And so here's this sweet church, you know, working away. They're working at registering with the government, all this kind of stuff, so they can't outwardly advertise. And we get through a Sunday morning service. We have a service before that the night before, and Sunday morning. And we start praying and prophesying over, you know, the leadership and people in the team. And there's this couple there, and we call them out, and we begin to pray over them. We didn't know that this was their first time in this church. And they had thought, they told the team later, they had thought that we were only praying and prophesying over people we know, you know. But then they get called out, and, you know, they hadn't been to church, I think it was over a year. They had moved from Moscow. Some reason they'd blown out of the church there and moved from Moscow to St. Petersburg, had been there for 6 months, got invited to the church, and God was speaking to them. This is the word for them, that, you know, he wouldn't put out the fire inside. You know, when it goes to a smoking flax, he'll like fan it into flame, and that God was about to fan into flame the fire of what he's doing in them. I mean, you guys, like, it was just this moment that God is going to cause his church to grow. Like, he's going to revive. He's sending the spirit of reviving. I mean, there's just so much good going on. It's like, again, hard to put in it, but it is time. And I don't care if things have been dormant. I'm just going to preach for a second. I'm just going to take a little liberty. I don't really care what your excuse is or how dormant the call of God has been in your life. He's sending a spirit and wave of reviving in his church, and he's going to bring it to pass. And I feel like some of you have even felt like maybe you've been unequally yoked, and you're like the one that's like, I'm not the spiritual one. God's like, no, you are a spiritual one, and that he's actually going to revive your destiny. And I just see, like, you know, Moses. I mean, we think about Moses. He's on the backside of the desert for 40 years. Some of you has not been 40 years, so you can encourage yourself today. It's been a little bit less than that. And or some of you are like, well, it's been close to 40, Rachel. Well, that's okay. God can do even beyond 40. He's bigger than the number 40. And so if you've been on the backside of a desert, if you've been somewhere in wandering, having no clue what you're doing, you thought you had gone after the call of God, and then you went off track somewhere, God is bringing you back on track. It's time to fire it up. It's time to stir yourself up and get ready for what God's going to do. The miracles he's done in your life, the things he's done before in you, those moments that he's touched you, he wants to increase that and cause it to grow. So don't just come to church and expect, you know, life as normal. We serve a living God. A living God. And so you guys are all going to get out of the boat with me. So when we do crazy things, I'm giving us help here. When we do crazy things and we step out and the Lord is in it, and there can be times that some of us make mistakes and we begin to, whoa, what's happening? Jesus is going to be there to lift us up and carry us through and take us to where we need to go. So I don't want any of you to be bound with fear. I don't want any of you to be stuck in the past. God's doing new things. He wants to take you with him. He wants to fan the fire of revival in your own heart. He wants to start with your heart. He wants to move into your family. He wants to move into your neighborhood. You guys, the sky is the limit of what he can do. So I just want to encourage you with faith. I feel like our faith level is to rise in this church, like, to a place that's just never has been before. Like, unbelief is not your friend. Please don't go to bed with unbelief in your heart, and don't wake up with it in your heart. And if you find that stirring in you, cast it off. Get rid of it. Repent of it, actually. I'm not talking about doubt. I'm talking about unbelief. Don't let it yoke itself. If you would hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Because he's speaking. He's the living God, and he has new things for us. You guys, so just fan it into fiery, you know, Caleb's got to preach, so I should step down. God bless you. We love you. Thank you for giving and praying. I love you. And honestly, you guys, we are better together. Can I just say, we really are. So thank you for letting us all both go and travel together. It's such a blessing. I really can't tell you how, like, when we have a word for somebody or something, like, God will give each of us a portion of it, a part of it, and it will just bring this together and more powerful than it would ever been by itself. Like, there's what God's doing in this day, I'll just say this, is unity. Unity, unity, unity. I can't, like, say it enough. Like, we are not going into this next season. The next season is about unity. Like, I mean, together. I mean, the women's conference. Hello. Let me just put a little advertisement out there. Together. You know, we need each other. You know, not just women. We need each other, men and women. We need it all. Children, older, younger, everything in between. Doesn't matter where you're from, what country. God's saying together, unity. It's in unity that he commands the blessing. And this is, he's breaking down the barriers. He's breaking down those things that are of things of division. He's causing reconciliation, forgiveness, things that have been in your heart. Yeah. Things that have been, things that you've been holding on to that you felt like you couldn't let go. God's saying, no, I'm going to enable you to let go of that. like deep unforgiveness. I feel like you guys have carried even wounds. You know, some of us, I mean, I'm talking to the body of Christ, not just to our church, okay? This is prophetic for the body of Christ. Wounds from previous generations where fathers had carried wounds and children have carried the wounds of their fathers. Those things are coming off. Like, I mean, we're going to see, and I believe we're going to see, like, when I talk about unity, I'm talking about Catholics. I'm talking about Lutherans. I'm talking about, like, the whole body of Christ is going to come together in a way that we've never seen. Watch out. Your socks are going to get blown right off your feet. I mean, you guys are going to just, like, because if you would open your heart to what the Spirit of God wants to do, I mean, I tell you, you have not seen it yet. Stories have not been written yet. He said the greater would be in the last days than it was in the previous days. And so you got to believe it. I mean, you just got to stir yourself up to believe it. Some of you are sitting here going, this lady is crazy. I know. Okay, I am a little bit, but I love you all and thank you and God bless you.
It's true. I agree, brother. Getting lots of fire emoticons from Russia from the watching the live stream. That's awesome. You know, it's interesting. I almost was picturing, you know, if you'd mind us to elaborate on the story. I was thinking about the disciples in the boat. Each of them have one of the baskets from the miracle the day before. And it's windy, and they're stressing out. And you ever stress eat? They're starting to stress eat. But they don't even realize. Some of you stress eat, you don't even know you're eating, but you are. But they're eating the miracle. But they don't realize what they're putting in their mouth in that moment. And we need to really be intentional about recognizing, man, God has moved in our lives yesterday, but He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. In every place that He's moved, it's a promise, it's a prophecy that He'll do it again and that He'll even do more because He takes us from glory to glory. And I was really, by the way, all of this is Take Heart Part 6. Trust me, it is, okay? This is all an illustration for a verse I'm going to give you as I wrap up this message that's built into testimony today. This is all one big illustration, but I think I'll be able to share that verse in a minute. But what I want to just highlight is something I shared with the group in St. Petersburg. And it's amazing. 20 or so people came from Krasnoyarsk in Siberia all the way over to St. Petersburg. And I was reminded of the 20 or so students that were in the Bible college class when I had the privilege of being there with Darren Mason, some different people that were there from our church teaching. And I remember that time as a very special time, but I don't think we realized who was in the room at that time. We were there like, hey, we need to teach the word and disciple people and raise up leaders. And like, we knew we were doing what God was asking us to do. We knew we were being obedient, but we didn't know what the impacts of that obedience would be. And it kind of comes back to that saying where you can count the seeds inside of an apple. 1, 2, 3, 4. But you can't really count the apples inside of one seed. Because when you sow that seed and it grows into a tree and it grows apples and it has apples season after season after season, you just have no idea how many apples are in that seed. And I think that's what was happening to us. And that seed is a small thing. And sometimes it's hard not to despise the day of small things because you just look at a seed and you're like, big deal, it's a seed. No, it's amazing. And I was telling the church in St. Petersburg about the time 22 years ago or 21 years ago in that Bible college class, teaching there. And I think back on that, and I look at who's in that class and what they're doing today. Vladimir is the bishop of evangelical churches in Siberia now. He is bishop over his own network of churches because our sister church has planted so many other churches. Another guy in that class, Vanya, he moved to Novosibirsk. He started a network of churches. He's a bishop. Two other students, Dima, he went to China as a missionary. Andre, he went to Turkey as a missionary. Two other students got married, planted another church. Lena is up at Bethel. Now she translates all of Bethel's messages for Global Legacy Russia every week. There's people that are worship leaders, people that are pastors, people that are home group leaders, Alpha Course leaders. It's like every single person in that class It feels like it to me. I don't know where they all are, but most of them that I can think of made a decision to follow Christ, and they're just in leadership, and they're changing the world. And I was telling the church in St. Petersburg, and I'm telling you here today, you just don't know what one act of obedience, one huge yes to Jesus is going to, what kind of fruit that's going to bear in your life. It's amazing, and it's incredible, and it's going to tie into the verse I'm going to share in a minute, but I want to encourage you with that. Sometimes we just can't see all the fruit that's going to come. I can't resist. I just want to give you my scripture verse. I have all these highlights and testimonies, but let me give you the verse, and then maybe I'll come back around to it. Galatians chapter 6. Let's read this. Galatians 6, verse 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. It's a good place to say amen, huh? That just felt good coming out of my mouth. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. Verse 8. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Then verse 9 goes on to say, and let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not, what? If we do not. So that's the opposite. You know, that's the same thing as saying, take heart. Like, we're going to reap if we take heart. And it's a really, I love this scripture a lot, because a lot of times when we talk to somebody and we challenge them, maybe it's a rebuke or an admonition, and we say things like, hey, you're going to reap what you sow. A lot of times we're giving them a warning like, dude, you don't want to go that direction. But Paul, and Paul is doing that here, but he's not just giving a warning. He's also giving a promise. Sometimes we just look at this, you reap what you sow, as a negative thing. He's saying, don't be deceived. You're going to reap what you sow negatively, and don't be deceived. You are going to reap what you sow in the sense of positive sowing, kingdom sowing, sowing in obedience. You are going to reap a blessing from that if you don't give up. He's saying it as a warning, but he's also saying it as a promise. And we need to grab a hold of both of these and begin to understand, when we sow a seed, and we water that seed, and we don't give up, but we continue in that trajectory, we're going to see a harvest in due season. If, and the enemy is so, I think that the enemy of our souls, that most spiritual warfare is really just about getting people to give up, because the enemy understands the word if. And he comes in the last days to wear out the saints, Daniel says. Because he wants to capitalize on the if, and he wants to get people to quit and to give up and to stop. I was so blessed yesterday to be a part of Valmy's memorial service, and I see you back there, Flavia. We love you so much. Valmy passed away, a couple of weeks ago, and this man fought cancer for 8 years, and he never quit. This guy was a warrior, a fierce. I mean, if he lived in David's times, he would have been the guy running into battle, taking out giants fearlessly. Just a warrior. Never quit, never stopped, kept pressing, kept going. And we have no idea the kind of spiritual impact that got released because of his faith. There's already a harvest, and there's so much more to come. And Flavia, we bless you, and we honor his legacy this morning. But I just think we need to get in our heart this stick-to-itness, this not giving up, this perseverance the scripture speaks about. It talks about patience. It talks about perseverance. A lot of words that start with a P that we don't like very often, but they're so important, and we've got to have them. They're a key part of kingdom life, to persevere, to not quit, to not give up. This word if is such a big deal. I think back to Russia and so many of the testimonies we saw there. Rachel hit on unity and reconciliation. You know, there was an individual early days of the Krasnoyarsk Church that was on the leadership team, a trusted staff member of Pastor Vladimir's, that felt led to go in a different direction, to be a part of a different church network, and he took a whole bunch of the church, more than half the church, with him. And it really hurt Vladimir's heart. And he was like, ah, I remember talking to him about it when he was younger. You know, when they had their 20th anniversary, maybe was 2013. He invited that pastor back. He asked him to come and speak at the 20th anniversary. He honored him. He blessed him. He celebrated him. And in doing that, he took the initiative and it unleashed a spirit of reconciliation between their church networks, because it's two big, like almost like denominations. And the testimony of that started to bring collaboration not only between their networks, but all kinds of church networks across Russia. And it unleashed a spirit of unity there because somebody said, you know what? Just because somebody hurt me doesn't mean I have to live letting that hurt define our relationship moving forward. I'm not going to stop pursuing. I'm not going to stop loving. I'm going to do good to those that I know, like this verse just said. I'm not going to grow weary in well-doing. I'm going to do good even though it hurt. I have a hurt here from the past. I'm going to do good anyway. And I'm telling you, it unleashed so much kingdom. So much kingdom. I believe one of the reasons they're on the cusp of this Jesus movement in Russia right now that I believe will be their greatest revival in their history. And by the way, do you know that because we're a part of sowing into that harvest, we get to also reap some of that harvest and experience revival here too? Do you understand why we're talking to you about Russia? Like, we get to experience some amazing things. And I just look at the reconciliation that's happening. I'm going to come back to Galatians 6 in just a second. Let me give you a couple other highlights from our trip. Jim and Jane Moscoso, Miles and Catherine Weiss, a bunch of people from our church went over to start Trust and Triumph. Trust and Triumph was a ministry we had here for people with habits and hang-ups and addictions and stuff before Celebrate Recovery existed or before we knew about it. And so they went over and planted that in Russia and they began to open rehab houses. And we just, because Russians, vodka, you know, you get it. So, like, there's a problems with that. And heroin and meth and... All five of the churches we told you about that we went to are pastored by somebody that used to be a drug addict or an alcoholic. This ministry that was started 20 years ago, it wasn't just about... Hey, this is something the church kind of needs to help some people. It didn't just help some people. It catapults people into their destiny. It's incredible. And their motto is not only be not drunk with wine. Yes, they start there, but they go on to say, and be filled with the Spirit. Because their whole thing is not just stop doing bad stuff. Their next step is be filled with God and do kingdom stuff. And they're doing that and they're planting churches and they're releasing revival. And when you go into their churches, every church pastored by a man or a woman like that is so filled with the presence of God because they know that deliverance is in His presence. They know that joy is in His presence. They know that the anointing breaks the yoke and nothing else. And they carry that and people are getting free. So, and they don't even smell like smoke. You know, like the Hebrew children, they didn't smell like smoke. I'm not talking about cigarette smoke or weed. I'm talking about they don't smell like the past. They don't smell like that old life. It's just... You don't look at them and go, wow, I think they kind of have a past. You'd never know. You'd think they grew up in church. You think they're pastor's kids. You think they were just, they never had any issues. But they did, major. They were in prison. They were addicted. They had all kinds of crazy stuff. Some of them living on the streets. And now they're changing Russia for the glory of God. And it's an awesome thing to see. It's an awesome thing to see. I want you to be encouraged for your kids or for your parents or for whoever you know battling with something. God is big enough to deal with it. And it's just amazing. I think about what's happening with the church planting movement. We got to be in Western Russia, and I found out that a lot, if not most, of the churches being planted in Western Russia, west of the Urals, European Russia, most of those churches are being planted by Siberians. Why is that significant? Why was it significant that Rachel was sharing, we got to go into classrooms 20-something years ago, and share about Jesus? Because for 70 years, Soviet Russia told people there is no God. And you will be punished for believing that there is a God. And millions of people were banished to Siberia for having ideas. Imagine that. For having faith. Or some for actually being criminals also. But they're all in one big category. Check it out. 75, 80, 90 years later, those Christians that were sent to Siberia for being followers of Jesus, they prayed for the generation after them. They never stopped believing. They never stopped following Jesus. They never stopped praying for the next generation. And they said, God, let your hand be on my family. Let your hand be on my kids. And now their grandkids and their great-grandkids are getting set free by the power of God, following Jesus with their whole hearts, and getting launched out of Siberia back to the place they were banished from. And they're planting churches in the major cities of Russia and releasing revival there. And if you, I mean, you just can't make up a story that good. It's just awesome. It's like the Joseph thing, where God sent him before, and he's able to say to his brothers, hey, you intended it for evil. God meant it for good. It's just, if you consider Russian history and you consider what they're doing right now, it's so significant. I mean, I grew up as a Cold War kid, a child of the 70s, going to school, nuclear war drills. Anybody else remember that kind of stuff? Anybody else remember the fear of just being annihilated? And look what God's doing now in Russia. Let me just explain something real quick. Every time we tell somebody, a neighbor, a friend, where we just were, they're like, Vladimir Putin. Like, what about him? He's the president of Russia. And? Well, isn't Russia dangerous? Putin. I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, listen, people could say that about Obama or Bush or whoever the leader is that you don't align with or like in whatever given political cycle. You mind if I step on a few toes right now? Just did. Okay. America, oh my gosh, Obama, Trump. Oh. I got news for all of us. This is going to feel good to say, but it's also true. God doesn't watch CNN or Fox and then make a determination about whether he should move in Russia. He's not going, oh, Putin, I'm going to hold off on that revival now, Putin. He's not looking at America going, Trump, Obama, I'm going to hold off on revival in America. Oh boy. I don't think I can handle it. Hey guys, just put a pause on revival for the next generation. Look at their president. And second of all, Vladimir Putin is a huge friend of the church. The churches have boomed under him. Whatever other things he's doing geopolitically, I understand diplomatic tensions. I understand not every decision is right. I'm not in agreement with a lot of that stuff, but I'm just saying he has been a friend to the church. I've even heard stories where he talks to his cabinet, he says, how much are you giving to the church? You should be giving more to the church, and that kind of thing. And I don't know, if I was in his cabinet, I'd probably do it. But it's just you hear these kind of stories, and it just, here's what you realize. All of that stuff aside, and I don't know how anecdotal that is or whatever, but all of that aside, I think it's important to step back and recognize sometimes we need to have a shift in our perspective about what God is doing in our nation and in other nations, and not base it on just the very small news feed that we get coming through the pipes. And it's really important, even for our own lives, that we intentionally focus on the promises of God and on what God is doing, because it'll fill our hearts with courage, as opposed to putting us in a place where we're starting to lose heart because we're really not seeing what God is doing now or what he's promised to do in the days ahead. And what these verses are saying to us in Galatians chapter 6, it's saying, don't be deceived. Don't be deceived about this promise of planting and harvesting. No matter how long it takes, it will always hold true that what you plant, you will harvest. Don't be deceived about that on the negative sinful side. Don't talk yourself into, people are good at talking themselves into and out of into things they shouldn't be doing and out of things they should be doing. We need to get better at talking ourselves into the things we should be doing and out of the things we shouldn't be doing. This is why it's saying don't be deceived. You could even deceive yourself. You can tell yourself something so many times that you kind of talk yourself into. So we've got to not allow ourselves to be misled, first of all, by ourselves or others, specifically in reference to this promise of harvest. Paul's telling the Galatian church there is going to be consequence for sin. And he's saying, there is going to be harvest for sowing into the kingdom. It's going to happen. Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived that there's not going to be promise. It is coming. Don't stop pressing. Don't give up. So that's what he's saying in Galatians chapter 6. And it kind of made me think of Isaac, the son of Abraham. He went back and began digging the wells that his father had dug. And when he dug one, there were other people in the land in Genesis 26 that contended for that. And they quarreled over it. And Isaac, he didn't stop and say, well, hey, that's not fair. That belonged to my dad. Let's go to court. Let's talk about this ad nauseum. Let's be bitter about it. I'm so offended at you. How could you not let me have this? I mean, he didn't. Like when that happens, when the quarrel happens, he goes over and says, I'm just going to go over to this other well and dig here. And then they contend for that. He goes, okay, you can have it. I'm going to go dig here. He doesn't get stuck like with a sense of injustice and a sense of like, you know, there must not be anything more for me. If I don't get that, I'm done with, and I'm just going to quit. He doesn't shut down. He doesn't give up. He doesn't get bitter. He doesn't stop digging. He just keeps going. And finally, it says he comes to a place called Rehoboth in verse 22 of Genesis 26, and he digs there, and they find water. And no, there's a verse on the, if you can stick it up on the screen. They find water, and nobody quarrels for it. And he says, the Lord has made room for us, and we will be fruitful in the land. And it's an incredible promise. But I love the fact that he doesn't stop digging. Tell somebody, keep digging, keep digging, keep going, keep digging. Like, we got to keep digging. So Galatians 6:9 is all about, if the worship team would come and join me, it'd be awesome. It's about having a vision of the harvest to come. I've heard it said that vision gives pain a purpose. Yeah? It gives pain a purpose. Like, take exercise, for example. You have a vision to, like, get healthy. The pain of the exercise, if you just have pain but you don't have any vision of being healthy, you're like, you're not going to keep doing that or eating that. You're not going to rehabituate yourself. But eventually, you know what happens? It's really amazing. I'll tell you something. This is just exercise. The Bible says bodily exercise profits a little, but there's a parallel with exercising yourself to godliness. With bodily exercise and with eating healthy, at first you're like, oh, kale, I don't know about that, or whatever it is. And pretty soon you're like craving, like, I love kale. It's awesome. More kale salad, please. Kale, I love it. The first week where you try to go running, you're like, oh, my goodness, I can't walk. I'm so sore, I can't breathe. And then you do it for a couple of weeks, and you're like, man, when am I going to get my run in today? It feels so good. And you start, your body, spiritually speaking, it's the same thing. When you start doing good, the scripture says in Romans 6:16, you become a servant to righteousness instead of a servant to sin. There's a joy that's in it. You get rehabituated. And Paul is saying, don't grow weary in well-doing. Keep going at it. Keep making the right choices. Keep sacrificing. Keep obeying. Keep pouring out your life. Keep standing in faith. Keep doing what God has called you to do, because you're not, if you don't give, you're going to reap if you don't give up. So we need to have that vision of the harvest to come, because when we have the vision of the harvest to come in those rough patches where it's like a little bit hard and it doesn't feel good to be doing what we're doing, we start to recognize, yeah, but it's so worth it, because look, the harvest. Most of the times when we're making bad choices, we've lost vision. We've lost vision that this choice is going to have bad fruit that I don't want in my life. And we've lost vision that, hey, this good choice is going to have awesome fruit if I stick with it. We need to stay connected to vision. Can you say amen? So let's stand up. That was a really tough attempt to preach. I feel like the Lord got it across to us, though. You know what I'm saying? The Lord's highlighting some things for us. Your due season will come. I feel like in many ways our due season is here. I was reminded of something that happened. You know, the children of Israel were in the promised land. They were there. God said how long? They'd be there for 40 years, right? The scripture says in the 39th year, they got discouraged because of the way. It's like, you're almost there. You're year 39. Next year, you're going into Canaan, land of milk and honey. Remember the fruit, Caleb and Joshua, they had to carry a thing of grapes with two of them. It's going to be amazing. But they saw the way they were going, which if you look at the map in the Bible, it's like right by the Red Sea where they first started. And they thought like, man, we are all the way back at ground zero. God was taking them by the Red Sea to remind them, what I did there to get you out of Egypt, I'm going to do over there to get you into Canaan. God was trying to prophesy to them, but they looked at the geography and they thought to themselves, well, this is lame. And they got discouraged because of the way. And I feel like sometimes we're right there in the edge of a breakthrough and we hit up against this wall of discouragement and we need to learn to persevere. We need to learn to do it because I promise you, the promise, this is not my promise, this is the promise of the Bible. He will breathe on you and give you a second wind. The Holy Spirit will breathe on you and give you a second wind and a second touch. And where you thought you couldn't, all of a sudden, like, how am I feeling this good right now about continuing? Because you've gotten a second wind, a second touch, a second anointing to go the distance and cross the finish line. And it's something that happens as we commit and resolve, like it says in Galatians 6:9, to not quit, to not stop, to not lose heart, to not give up. To push. It says in verse 10 of Galatians 6, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. So he says, don't grow weary in well-doing. Instead, wow, look for an opportunity for what God has around you. And I have this in the Amplified as well. I know we're getting there. We're near. The end is near, I promise. Okay. For this message. It says, so then as occasion and opportunity open up to us, let us do good morally to all people, not only being useful or profitable to them, but also doing what is for their spiritual good and advantage. Saying, don't stop serving. Don't stop being a blessing. Being mindful to be a blessing, especially to those of the household of faith, those who belong to God's family with you, the believers. And it's just talking about... it's talking about that second wind. And this morning, I just feel like that's what the Lord wants to release in a lot of us, real simply. He just wants to release that second wind. That Isaiah 40:31, those that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength, kind of a second wind. They'll run and not grow weary. They'll walk and not faint, wings as eagles. That whole promise, that's what he's releasing. That's what we're bringing home to you this morning. You sent us out. We've come back in. We're sharing this testimony because this testimony is your testimony. These victories are our victories as the church. You're like, I just got saved last week. It's your inheritance. Look, when you come into a family, you get everything that belongs to that family. Claim it. Say, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. All right, put your hand on your heart. Jesus, grace, grace, grace. I pray that you'd release that second wind this morning in your people. Lord, we receive the promise of Galatians 6, the due season, the reaping, the harvest of blessing, the harvest of souls, the harvest of your promise, God. And I pray, God, that your word, Lord, there would just be fire. Fire deep down in our spirits. You know, the word we had.